Yeah, it is a it's a real honor to be serving with Jim, and it's a real honor to be able to bless him with some time of rest and recovery. We've been through a lot as a body over the past 6 to 10 years. It's been a lot of things to go through, a lot to cover, and Jim has led us so very well. So thank you, Jim. Thank you. And we're excited to be in a position to bless him with some time to rest and recover and dig into what God is calling this church into. What a powerful worship set this morning, Andrea. Just awesome worship, like digging in to what the Spirit is doing. And then an exhortation from Jim, absolutely awesome, and really just ties in with what God, I believe the Spirit is doing in our church, ways that the Spirit wants to convict us in this season to live a life that is glorifying to God. So that's awesome. As I was thinking about some of the things that that Jim said and some of the stuff that we sang about, there's a piece in this, and I'm going to kind of tangent a little bit before we read our passage for today. But I was looking through this discourse between Jesus and the apostles, and early on, right after he washes the apostles' feet, he then says he encourages them to wash each other's feet. But then he goes on and he actually gives them a commandment, and this I think is profound. Not only for Christians at large, but I think for this body of believers here. He said a new command. This is in John 13, 34 through 35, if you're looking for reference. A new command I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And I think that as we're looking, today we're going to delve into the Helper. What an amazing gift that we have in the Spirit, and what the Spirit does in us and what we do in the Spirit. But as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, man, what's it going to take for us to be a body that people look when they come in here and they see a love that represents Jesus' love so that they are like, wow, this is different? If I bring somebody who's not a believer into this building and they look, are they going to look and they're going to see something different, or is it just going to be the same? And that's a really hard question, and that's a question we need to be asking ourselves. Are we washing each other's feet? Are we loving each other? Despite our differences or different perspectives we may have on theological issues, do we love each other like Jesus loves us? And the neat thing is, we can't, but we can because of the Spirit, right? So, let's dig into the text for today. We're in John 15, 26 is where we're going to start. We're going to go through 16, 15. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think they are offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine, and he'll declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine, and he will declare it to you. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this gift. Lord, I pray that you would be moving in us, that you would be encouraging us to be listening to the Holy Spirit. God, that you would just be guiding us. Holy Spirit, you would be guiding us in the way. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for all the people here and the amazing gifts you've given them. I pray that you would be encouraging and convicting today. Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. So let's look at what we're dealing with at this point in the text. The apostles have heard a lot of challenging things. The world's going to hate you. You know, some of you will be killed. Some of you will be killed in my name. And I'm leaving. So that's a hard message to take. It would be, in my mind, such a dark and scary place to like be in. But Jesus has laid the groundwork for hope and anticipation of what is to come and the building of his church. In John 15, 10 and 11, Jim talked to us last week about abiding, and Jesus says this: if you keep my commands, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full or complete. So he talks about abiding. He talks about asking. In John 14, 13, he says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So when we're abiding and we're seeking to glorify God, Jesus says, ask, and it'll be yours. And we see amazing examples throughout Acts of the apostles asking and doing incredible things in Jesus' name. He commissions the apostles to serve in 13:14. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And as I covered earlier, before we started, at the end of that same chapter, he says, love, and he commissions the apostles to love and be known in John 13, 34, and 35, giving them a new commandment to love each other, and by that, to be known. On top of that, he gives multiple examples throughout this how we are to stand in contrast to our culture or to the world. And that through this, we are an example of God's goodness, justice, righteousness. But the hinge, the piece that we need in order to be able to do any of this stuff is the icing on the cake that he lays out at the front end of this text, that we need the Helper. So in order for us to do these things, we need the Helper. And that's where we're going to dive into this text. We're going to look at Jesus saying he has to go away. In John 16:7, it says, we look at it and we go, why is it to our advantage that Jesus is to go? Well, if you think about the Old Testament and the temple of God, that's where they met, where the priests would go in and reside in the presence of God. And in the most holy of holies. And there's a drastic transition that takes place in the crucifixion where the veil is torn and suddenly we are sanctified by his blood, making us fit as temples of the Holy Spirit. And so that's one of the reasons why. The other piece is that the Holy Spirit plays a very specific role. His primary objective is to glorify the crucified Christ. Okay? In John 7:37-39, it says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, out of their hearts will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So the Spirit comes to glorify the crucified Christ. And within us to fulfill Christ's work on earth. Okay? So that's a pretty heavy task. What does this mean for us? Well, let's look ahead in the text at John 16:12-13. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And that word guide can also be to escort you to all truth. And a few weeks ago, I spoke about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that we needed to focus on Jesus. That was how he is the way. But then he gives us this gift, the Holy Spirit. And I kind of laid out a picture of getting directions. And when you get directions, you know, someone can tell you where to go. And then you likely get lost, or someone can take you. And the Holy Spirit takes us. He's with us. He escorts us into all truth. For the 11, we can see this in Acts as a radical transformation from this place, I think, where there's darkness, where Jesus gets taken and they scatter, to when they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they are suddenly empowered and guided into all truth, and they move with conviction and authority as Jesus moved. And through that truth, they built the early church. So for us in this season, what we have to ask ourselves is, do we believe in ultimate truth? I think this is an important question because our society really does not believe in ultimate truth. Truth is yours. I've heard things like, find your truth. But we, as believers, truth is a being. Truth is Jesus. It's not some ideology that we come up with for what fits our personality. It's a fixed thing. And so it gets tricky for us living in this society to hold on to that. But I encourage you, do hold on to that. There's culture's really pushing this concept of fluid truth. But we know the truth, right? We know the truth, and it is Jesus. This brings us to, I think, the harder piece of what it means to be a believer, because earlier in the text, John 16:8, I got to flip back here so I can see it. Jesus says this, And when the Spirit comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. I've read through this a lot of times, and I think a lot of times it's really easy to see that and be like, yeah, go Spirit. You will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And that is awesome, because that is what the Spirit is going to do. But where's the Spirit? Right? Who's the temple? We covered this earlier. Us. I couldn't hear it very well. We'll try it again. Who's the temple? We are. We're the temple. And the Holy Spirit resides in us. So suddenly, this concept of convincing, convicting becomes very personal, because that is a responsibility we have in the Spirit. Okay? When I was getting ready for this conversation, I thought, boy, this is a challenging conversation to have, because a lot of Christians throughout history have taken this concept of convicting or convincing and done atrocious things. So what I want to encourage you in is that when we take this concept and mix it with everything Jesus has laid out in this conversation with the apostles, abiding, asking, serving, loving, right? Above all else, and walking in the guidance of the Holy Spirit that brings us into all truth. It takes a weight off. It takes a weight off. But we have the tools to do it. And that's what Jesus talks about at the end of the chapter. He said, at John 16:14. He being the Spirit, will glorify me, being Jesus, and he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So through the Spirit, we have access to the authority of Jesus. We have access to the inheritance of Jesus. I think it's easy for us to kind of get in a headspace of just doing your thing, or coming to church, participating, and then going out for the week, and that's that, right? But if we're loving each other well, then that means that we're also encouraging and building each other up. And what I think in the Spirit, when I've thought about this, I've thought, man, for a long time, I think we're missing out. I really think we're missing out. And here's why. Because for so long, I think it's been ingrained in my head for sure, but probably in many others, that to be encouraged, to be built up, to be held to account is condemnation. And is piling on shame on me. I don't know if anyone else has felt that way, but it certainly, I think, has been the, you know, there is an amazing fear of legalism. Now, legalism is totally inappropriate. We are not to be Pharisees, right? People still with me? This is a hard thing, so I want to know people are with me. Are you hearing me? Okay. We don't want to be Pharisees, but I can still love Andrea dearly and encourage her in the Spirit in truth. Okay? And in doing that, I can build a relationship with Andrea that is so much deeper than the relationship that I can have with somebody in the world. And doesn't that stand apart? It's not really a question. I did ask a question, but Jesus actually said it, right? Love each other, and you'll stand apart. What is love? It's not that song, Baby, Don't Hurt Me. It's this concept of encouraging, building, being bound to each other in community. And without that, we're just wandering around by ourselves. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. But we just keep trying to be our own branch. I'm going to just, you know, plant myself here. I'm going to connect myself to Jesus, but I don't like any of these branches. Can we prune those already? No, we can't, because those are our brothers and sisters, and we need to love them. We need to work with them. We need to go out and serve people with them. We need to hold each other accountable. We want to encourage each other. You know, so often in my life, if I don't have a goal or I don't have somebody holding me accountable to something, I just flounder around. Maybe I'm alone. But I think this is pretty common. I do. And I see it with the guys that I work with. If I don't give them direction, if I don't encourage them, they just flounder around. Next thing I know, I go in, you know, a month later, I'm like, what is going on? The guys at my shop. No one here, obviously. Thank you for that correction. But yes, the guys I work with at the store, not Jim, you know. I don't come in a month later and go, Jim, what are you doing? But anyway, we're to love each other, we're to hold each other accountable. So we're going to practice something today. This might be uncomfortable. That's good, because it should be, because I don't think it's something we've been practicing. As a body and as Christians at large, I don't think this is something we've been practicing, at least not at large, okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to think about something we can do this week to honor and trust the Holy Spirit of truth to lead us through to do something, to challenge ourselves to do something a little different, okay? And for many of us, I look at a lot of the folks in the room, they've been believers for longer than I've been alive, okay? They've tried a lot of different things. There's something new out there. So let's challenge yourselves, and I think that when we challenge ourselves with something new, we see remarkable things. A lot of times it's easy to just kind of sit in what you're doing, and next thing you know, you've been doing that for 20 years. And if you try some things, then maybe you might see cool ways God can work in your life in new ways. Yeah? So we're going to challenge ourselves to do something in trusting the Holy Spirit, whether it is, I can look at this list. If it's abiding, or if it's asking, if it's serving, if it's loving, right? Any of those things, those directions he gave to the apostles. Think about that and think, what can I do this week that's different? How can I challenge myself? And here's the part that brings the body into the mix. And I forgot to give AV my phone number. But here's the part that brings the body in the mix. I want you to text that thing to somebody that you trust, someone within the body that's gonna encourage you and hold you accountable through the week. Okay? Most of us have a phone, I would assume. I'm gonna give my number. I'm gonna say it, and then they're gonna put it up on the slide. So think of somebody, and if you can't think of somebody, then in a second, when I get there, you'll have my number, and you can contact me and say, hey, I want you to hold me accountable. And I'll be like, sweet. And I'm going to have all of you hold me accountable because I thought about this a bit and I came up with something for me. All right. Are you ready, Seth? Just a loud yes. He's ready. Cool. The phone number, Seth, is 315-590-2587. Can we get that on the screen? Maybe. Sometime. He's working on it. So if you don't have somebody to message me. Give me your name, give me the thing you're going to do, and then I'll reach out to you a few times through the week and ask how that's going. This isn't a chance for me to shame or condemn you for not doing it, but a chance for me to say, hey, how's it going? You know, are we getting there? And I think that's just a good thing for us to be doing and to be creating an atmosphere where we can do that without feeling like it's not safe. Okay? So maybe you don't get what you need to get done. That's okay. We serve a very gracious God who's been gracious to me for ages, not getting things done. But let's have somebody that's encouraging us through the week to do the thing that we're going to plan to do. And for me, I'm going to share that thing. For me, I was thinking back as I was thinking about my interactions in the last, my whole life, that I've had, and where maybe I didn't interact well in love or set a good example. And I had this track coach when I was in high school. And the other day, I was on Facebook, and I saw his image pop up, and I thought, man, I really don't like that guy. And the minute I thought that, I thought, wow, that's a really bad attitude, you know? Man, I do not like that guy. I don't know why I don't like that guy, but boy, I don't like that guy. And I thought back about it, and I was like, you know, there was a tense relationship. He treated me a little weird, whatever. I don't really know the exacts, but I'm certain that I didn't treat him well either, knowing myself. And so what I came to is I'm like, you know what? I need to reach out to this guy. I need to tell him that I love him. And I need to let him know that I'm sorry if I treated him poorly or if I left any hurt in his life. I'm sorry. And I need to let him know that Jesus prompted me to talk to him and encourage him. Maybe that goes somewhere, maybe not. But I just felt like that's what I need to do. And that's something that, for those of you that don't know me, is actually really uncomfortable. So I enjoy working with believers. And then in like a corporate setting, I'm good with working with non-believers. As far as going to non-believers with real like blunt straightness, Jim is excellent. I'm a slob, but I'm working on it. So that's my example. That's my encouragement to you guys. Coming up with something, texting somebody, you can continue to think about that. I'm going to pray for us all. The worship team is going to come up, and we're going to worship God with a final worship song. Lord God, I just thank you for everyone here today. Lord, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be convicting us to live differently, to love differently. God, that you would be building up relationships in this body that are deeper. Lord, that it would stand in contrast to the loving relationships that people have in society. That when people come here, they would just see your love, and it would be so, there would just be an amazing draw to it. God, that they would just see that love, and it would just pull them. They'd pull at the very core of their being. They need that love. So God, I just pray that we would be setting that example in our relationships here, that we'd be going deeper, that we'd be building trust and accountability, so that as we go to make disciples in your name, that we would go as a body. Thank you, Lord, for all you're doing today. I just pray that you would be with us as we close in worship. Bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.